Okay, speaking to Steve Dixon about the situation with Arno Tonis, who obviously Steve thought he had for next year, but now that's not the case. Steve, what was the situation with Arno?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've had Arno for the last 2 years, and, you know, we signed him 2 years ago when he didn't have a deal, when KTM and Suzuki, he thought he had a deal with one of those two, and it appeared he didn't, so I took him on late in 2010 for the 2011 and 12 season. So, yeah, you know, he started riding for me straight away, and we, you know, built up a good trust over the last 2 years. And then in, you know, when he got injured this year in the British Championship at Canada Heights, I went to his manager in April and said, you know, we'd like to sort of carry on with Arnold for the next couple of years. You know, we feel good about him. And so, yeah, then basically a deal was struck up, you know, that he wanted to ride for me. And then he got an offer from CLS, which basically we then had to, you know, pretty much match. You know, Arnold tried the CLS bike and, you know, he's happy to stay with us. We agreed on everything, you know, money and mechanic, you know, ability to sort of choose what class he wanted to do in 2014, and you know, the fact that he could race Geneva and Bercy, and you know, the Berg beach race. Yeah, and that was it. You know, everything was sort of agreed. Then it was just left to finite little details in the contract about, you know, clauses and this and that. You know, because to have a solid 2-year contract, you know, needs quite a bit of work, you know, for both parties. If, I mean, there was the incident with Musquin where, you know, KTM and Honda sort of came to blows, you know, out of court, and there were settlements. And, you know, that's no good for the rider, it's no good for the sport. You know, Musquin ended up champion, but he also missed a round in Sweden. And, you know, we don't need that. And from that, everyone sort of should have learned. So, you know, on contracts you have, you know, you need some solid structures that if the rider gets injured and he has a bad season, then he knows that he's got a good, you know, chance the second year. You know, if you want to start, you know, buying houses and doing long-term plans, you need a structure of what you're doing. And that goes for the team as well. You know, they need to know that another team's not going to come and poach their rider, and so there has to be, like, you know, bonds on that. So everything was sorted, and then, yeah, then out of the blue, even, you know, we were meant to meet with his manager in Lierop and sign with Mel and sign with Arnold, but, you know, his manager didn't turn up, so we just signed with Mel and did some photos and handshakes with Lawrence from Yamaha Europe and myself and Mel, and also with Arno. So we discussed, and everything was arranged, you know, start testing straight after donations with suspension, and we started to use some 2013 parts in Germany when he was on the podium. Everything was looking good. So when I injured my back in Germany, and then basically the guy said to me, oh, Arnold hadn't been round, you know, all weekend, seems a bit strange. And I texted Arnold to see how he was and how it was going. And, you know, I was in hospital, and I say I got taken away as an emergency, I had my back operated. And I thought it was strange that Arnold didn't come and see me, because when he got injured in Canada Heights, you know, I came immediately and stayed with him, and I missed Mel winning his first British Championship. So, you know, I was showing sort of good care. And that was sort of surprising. So then I started to think something may be up. So I text, and then when I was in hospital, I got news that he was going to Kawasaki. So that was pretty rough news. And then, so yeah, I arranged to sort of speak to him in the Nations. And then I said to him, look, I don't want to speak about it before racing, because I don't want you already agreed to sort of be with me. And like I say, things are sort of not quite so simple in legal terms and everything. So, you know, I can't say too much, but that's my, you know, opinion. It's a great shame for me and my sponsors to have, you know, gone through all this. I mean, we just had a load of umbrellas with Tonus put on the umbrella, like 1,000 umbrellas that Bike It had just done with, you know, Tonus's image on it, which, you know, now go to waste. And we'd sort of promised sponsors, you know, that he would be there. So, yeah, I don't think it's right that because Michael Leib had signed a solid contract with CLS, then he didn't have such a good time when he came back with us, you know, because he was basically still a little bit drained from the virus he had, and he was just coming back to fitness. They basically got rid of Michael and, you know, got wind that actually Arnold has not signed his contract, which, you know, a signed contract doesn't mean anything. You know, it's word of mouth, and also handshake that's solid as well. So anyway, Michael's pretty gutted. I know he's sort of taken legal action, and it's just bad for the sport that, you know, someone like Michael went away for the winter to get ready to come back and ride for CLS. Arnold and ourselves got ready to go for the next 2 years, and then it's all been turned up by, you know, one team that shouldn't have, you know, started interfering, really. I mean, they have Tommy, and they have two good riders with Lupino and Leib, and, you know, each team needs some good leaders, and, yeah, I don't think that sport should get dragged down to this level. As I say, next it'll be espionage and bikes being stolen and, you know, putting sand in petrol and stuff like that. You know, what next? It's, it doesn't need to be underhand, you know, it's a small sport, and basically there's only, you know, 5 or 6 manufacturers, and, you know, for Arnold at 20 years old, it's, I didn't think it was a good decision from his manager, and, you know, I'm sure they'll have this reason, that reason, but, you know, like I said to him, if there was anything wrong, then, you know, we're born and taught at school to open our mouths and speak, and that's all that needed to happen, so... Anyway, it's done now, and we just, you know, look to move on, and, you know, we'll carry on with our team and, you know, still push for good honours next year. I mean, I've been around 23 years in GPs, and, you know, I'm not likely to sort of leave early or be deterred by, you know, something like this. But I've seen, you know, lots in the sport over the years, and for me it was just really surprising from someone as good-natured as Arnold, but, you know, I think with sort of some managers, maybe they don't have the courtesy that team managers have.
What I know you can't mention the riders you're talking to for next year to replace Arno, but obviously, whether it's whichever rider you decide, I think it's going to be quite a surprise anyway. And who knows? Maybe one of these guys can even run with Arno.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not driven by beating Arno. Like I said, you know, I've had riders come and go, you know, for various reasons, whether they retire and stuff like that. You know, like we've taken something like 6 or 7 people to their first GP wins. You know, we did a lot with Arno, with Zach, with Billy, with
Andrew
Mayer, with Andrew McFarland, you know, with a lot of riders. So, you know, I'm not fazed by that, and, you know, look forward to a new challenge. I mean, like, you know, Mel this year, I had no contract with Mel. You know, he didn't have a good ride. He had just a ride in England, and, you know, me and his dad sort of coaxed up a ride together, and, you know, I paid a lot of money, you know, from myself for Mel to get where he was this year. You know, he didn't buy a ride or anything like that. And he put the work in, and, like I said, I was faced with the option to take Mel on for 2013 and 14, which I did. You know, I was glad to do that. And as I say, we didn't have a contract or anything this year with Mel. It was just, you know, a handshake and a bond, and, you know, he respected that, and I respected that, and we did the job, and he, you know, reaped the rewards and bonus and exposure, and you know, now he's got a good sort of 2-year deal with me, you know, in the factory Yamaha team. So that's how it should work.
Yep. Just quickly, last question. And it's more about British motocross, because, you know, I was talking to, I was talking to one of the British guys. I think it was Elliot Banks Brown after he'd won the British Championship.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, and then there's Jake Nichols, Mel. I mean, it's quite possible we could have three British guys in the top five in MX1 next year.
MX2,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe not in the top five, 3-5 at the end. I don't know. That would be pretty much a dream. But, no, I mean, I think the British guys now are, you know, breaking the mould, because, you know, in years gone by, it didn't seem that the British guys sort of travelled well and, you know, their results were brilliant in the UK and then sort of went downhill when they went abroad. But I think the introduction of, like, the European races and you know, with Jake going over to ride in Belgium, yeah, I think it's helped his mentality and obviously his speed. You know, and Elliot's got good pedigree from his family anyway, with Mark and with his dad John. So I mean, you know, I think maybe in the past they wanted it more than Elliot, but I think now Elliot has sort of come to age and is himself, and you know, his abilities start to show now, and it's good. I think, and now next year there's quite a few riders from England that are going to do the Europeans and start getting a taste of, you know, what it's like on the circuits abroad. Also, the 65 and 85 at Matterley this year, I think, was, you know, a good eye opener for the guys. And I think quite a lot of young riders are going to start doing the 85 and 65 series. And, you know, it's good. We need a good flow. I mean, there was a time when sort of Belgium and England sort of ruled the roost in motocross, and I'm not saying it's going to come like that, but it's good to sort of realise we can still be competitive, and I think the barriers of like the little stretch of water are going.
Yep.
And you know, now there's more and more Grand Prix, as I say, I think the guys are just getting more used to being away.
Yep. Okay, Steve, thanks very much.